This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer, and today I am joined by a guest that I'm very excited about. He's never been on the show before, but we've been I'd say Bravo, you know, social media friends for a long time. Please welcome Gibson Johns, the host of We Should Talk, which is an In the Know podcast. Gibson, hello.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I've been waiting for this day. You know, we've been social media friends for a while, and we met for the first time in person a couple of months ago. But I'm excited to get to talk to you.
We met at that fateful night. That was the book launch party that was truly an event to remember.
Yeah, it was. We haven't gotten a second BravoCon, but I would say that's the closest we've gotten to that.
What was your most amusing BravoLeb interaction at that party, would you say?
I had a couple. I would say a highlight was definitely doing a photo booth moment with like most of the New Jersey cast. That was definitely very fun. I think we were holding diamonds though, so like it wasn't totally a perfect moment. I had like a heart-to-heart with Mary Amons from DC. And then I also had like an interaction with Leanne and Cameron from Dallas, who were like all over the place. Yeah.
I think we jointly had that interaction with Leanne and Cameron, and
we sure did.
It just went on for a while.
Yes. Yeah. To the point where like Leanne came over, Cameron left, and then whoever she had been talking to in the meantime, that conversation totally ended. So Cameron had to like drift back into our conversation she clearly didn't want to be doing. So Leanne was just going on about something. I forget what it was.
Yeah, but Leanne Locken, yeah. always a trip.
Yes. Yes.
So we today are mostly here to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And when I asked you to come on the show last week, it was like, okay, great, we'll recap this episode that's like the Zion trip. Cool. And then in the time that has elapsed since then, Salt Lake City has become ground zero for exploded. Whatever the fuck is going on with Jenny.
Exactly.
What was your like first reaction when you saw those posts that were going viral last week? And how do you feel kind of in the few days since then as it's been dealt with or not dealt with?
Yeah. So I was on a full day shoot that day, so I literally wasn't on Twitter all day, and I was sort of like, you know, when you're on your phone for like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. you sort of see something pop up, and I think it was actually a Bravo by Betches post where it was sort of like you had the screenshot of Heather Gay that was like when you see the resurfaced Facebook post, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I looked at that really quickly, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, like this is just objectively, blatantly racist and.
Yeah.
Inexcusable, and I mean like all the above words, and I think one of the things that kind of just, I don't know if it was stunned me or shocked me or wasn't surprising, but like just how recent they were, you know, it was a year and a half ago, and that to me just like brings it to a whole other level of like just dumbfounding and like in multiple ways, sort of like how are these just discovered? How were they not discovered when she was cast on the show?
Yeah, especially I think the timeline with when she came on the show, because she started filming basically at the beginning of 2021,
right?
Which means that these Facebook posts were like 3 months before that. And it's like, did they?
Which like, is like, what the? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I think it just snowballed so quickly from there, right? So it's like, you know, you have this disgusted reaction to these posts, and then you're sort of like, okay, where are the reactions from the cast members? Or is Bravo going to condemn this? Or is Andy going to speak out? And, you know, I think there's, I don't really know what the precedent is for all of this. I feel like they sort of, it feels like they sort of do it on case by case situation. Yeah. I feel like we've gotten so many different reactions over the years. But I think one of the things that also confused me was like, okay, like they're starting to release these statements and nobody's mentioning Jenny by name. And it's sort of like, what is the directive that's happening behind the scenes here? Which I still don't really understand what it was.
Yeah, it seems kind of unclear because at first Jen Shah was the only one who had kind of called it out, you know, called out Jenny by name. And then there were like these rumors that Jen was going to get fired because they were so mad that she had called out Jenny specifically, which like, I feel like anytime something like this happens on Bravo, there's always that first round of like rumors and sources. And I'm very much like, I'm going to wait like a couple days until things settle. And so it doesn't, I don't think Jen Shah is getting fired, at least not for this. But yeah, then that for everybody else was kind of making these, you know, they weren't vague because we knew what they were about, but they weren't also saying exactly what it was. And then I noticed like Meredith just like tweeted something extremely vague, but then yesterday posted something that was like, I want to be more specific. Like, I'm disgusted by my co-workers posts.
Exactly. Like, right. Exactly.
I love when a housewife calls another housewife their co-worker, because to me, that's just
it's a reminder of their actual relationship.
It's like both shady and just extremely honest about the fact that it's like, we're not friends outside of this context.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, and I think with the Jen firing, like that rumor that came out, I think like a day or two later or something, it was sort of like, yeah, you know, what was the likelihood that she was going to be fired over speaking out against anti-Black Lives Matter posts? Likely, like, no, that wasn't super likely. But I think even just the fact that it was a rumor that was being allowed to be believed for a day or a half a day, to me just spoke to like, okay, like we need some sort of response here. You know what I mean?
Right. And
especially because those rumors weren't about Jenny, who should, if anybody's going to be fired, it's Jenny who shared those racist posts. Yeah.
And I, like you, was a little confused about what precedent has been set at Bravo with these things. I literally scrolled back on Bravo's Instagram all the way back to like summer 2020. Cause I was like, I need to see like what was happening in this moment, because in pretty quick succession, we had the post about Stassi and Kristen and Brett and Max being fired from Vanderpump Rules. And that was obviously, you know, not a super similar situation to Jenny's, but, you know, kind of in that sphere. And then that guy, Pete, was fired from Below Deck Med just a couple weeks after that. And both times they got these, you know, text posts on the Bravo Instagram feed that was like, the production company and the network are like, you know, whatever, whatever. And, you know, since then they spoke out, you know, in support of Tiffany Moon that one time when Cameron and her family were coming at her. And, you know, they've posted in the past about, you know, reaffirming their commitment to Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. And so it is a little confusing when it, you know, as a fan, as a person who, you know, works in the realm of all of this stuff, it's like, okay, so what is the actual, like, company priority? Because, you know, they did a whole special called A Movement, Not a Moment. And then it's like, okay, so where's the movement now?
So let's continue this movement. Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then I also think about the moment where it's like Kenya wore the Native American Halloween costume, and they, you know, I think they released a statement and edited it out of the episode or something like that. I can't remember exactly what they acted fairly quickly on that as well. Yeah, so,
and she was clearly like forced to apologize, basically. Right. I actually have seen the rerun of that episode, and it's extremely funny because they just blur out her costume.
Oh, they blur it. Oh my gosh, I haven't watched that episode.
There's a couple shots, like, I think they did edit her out of some of the shots, but then also they just like fully blur out the costume.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I need to go back and watch that. Oh my gosh. Okay,
so we'll see what happens with Jenny. I have to say, the Watch What Happens Live moment last night with Lisa and Andy, I expected Andy to say something, but then he really just asked Lisa what she thought and then moved right along. So I was expecting a little bit more of a statement there.
Yeah, I think I was too, and I think everyone kind of was. And it was, I know that episode was definitely recorded. Like, it wasn't a live episode, but still, it was obviously after those posts emerged. So it's sort of like, the posts sort of speak for themselves, right? Like, they merit a response, and they merit a condemning of the posts. And, you know, I think, you know, you want to think that there's sort of like a longer term play that they're in terms of what their response is going to be. It seems like it's going to play out at least the beginning of this next season. But I do think that people are owed a more immediate response when stuff like this pops up, because stuff like this is clearly getting through the cracks of the casting process, and which is really, really unfortunate. And like, you know, I think that there somebody has to answer for that. So
totally. On a lighter note, I did love on Watch What Happens Live when Andy just says to Lisa, the reactions to your reunion outfits were really poor. He's like, what do you have to say about that? She's like, I don't know. I think everyone is comfortable. I loved my dress. So like,
yeah. Yeah. And I just listened to the Bitch Dash episode about those reunion outfits. And it's just like, they're right. Like everyone, there has never been such a universally negative reaction to reunion outfits. And again, I still don't know what the directive was. Cause you know, there's always a directive on the outfits and.
Right. Like they clearly got the jewel tone memo, but it's like, are we going for like formal wear? Is it just like anything goes as long as it's blue or purple?
Oh my gosh.
Really upsetting.
To be fair, like, I guess Lisa's, I mean, like, it's all relative, but her outfit was honestly her dress was one of my, I guess, top half of that group.
Yes.
But that, you know, it's slim pickings there. So
I think Lisa's reunion look will be a win as long as she cannot have the spray tanned orange hands this year.
Yes, yes. There's only one way to go from there with that.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Okay, so on this episode that we had last night, the ladies are in Zion. They do a flashback to the bus, which reveals that they've been in Zion for less than 9 hours, which is just unfathomable to me.
We're getting two episodes out of like 12 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think this season of Salt Lake, it's a pretty long season of Housewives. It seems like they've earned it. But this trip, especially, even the women, you can tell are like, wait, fuck, this is the first day we've been here. Mm-hmm.
Jen literally says that when she hugs Meredith that like, wait, I'm jumping ahead. But like she hugs Meredith and she says that and they almost like laugh. They're like, holy shit. Like, it reminds me of a Summer House episode from last season where it's all in one day. And you're just like, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
The trajectory of like, Meredith being okay with people and then blowing up and then being happy again, and like Jen kind of has the same roller coaster ride. This episode really was kind of emotional whiplash of like, wait, who's screaming at who? Now they're sleeping in the bed together. Now they're in the pool. Like, it was chaotic and in a way that I found really enjoyable, but it is just kind of wild how these women can go at it and then like be chill the next moment.
Oh, completely. And you're right. Sometimes there are moments, and I think one of the biggest moments of this was when Jen and Lisa were arguing on the Sprinter van, but like they'll have full-fledged arguments for 5 or 10 minutes that they show us. And I honestly lose track of what we're even arguing about. I'm like, this person didn't have their back. And then it's also, I feel like there's like a hidden meaning in some of these arguments. But it was complete whiplash. Meredith left and came back 3 times. I counted. I was like, I mean, because she had to have her say, I guess. But I you know, and then she, you know, she was definitely on one. She was slipping into her like slightly different voice, you know, like there mm-hmm. she puts a different inflection on some of the words when she gets in yeah. in the heat of the moment. But also I think sometimes these arguments get so overwhelming for me where like there are some hidden comments in these arguments that like could be a 15-minute conversation in and of themselves, but they just get glossed over. Like I think we're kind of glossing over a lot of the like Meredith was seeing this guy when she was separated from Seth and Jen might have hooked up with him, and like these comments keep kind of surfacing, but we haven't fully attacked them.
Right. There are actually, if you go through down the list of this cast, there are several cheating rumors / accusations that have been thrown out there, and somehow none of them have really become storylines on the show yet, because you obviously have, you know, the Meredith having 10 boyfriends and, as Lisa right. says in the next episode, fucking half of New York City.
Oh my God. I'm still reeling from that.
The idea that Jen has potentially cheated on Sharif, which we have never quite unpacked. And then there's also been a rumor online, so, I mean, grain of salt, that Mary was having an affair with Cameron at some point in the past. And it's like, wow, we really have, there's truly a lot going on here, considering that none of these things have even really been topics of conversation on the show that much. They're kind of throwaway things.
Yeah, and to me that speaks to sort of, I'm definitely enjoying this season still, but it's speaking to sort of, again, this feeling of being a little bit overwhelmed by just how much, is going on. Because, like, you know, we came into the season, at least I came into the season thinking, okay, is this going to be mainly about Jen Shaw? But then it kind of ended up being, for a while, mainly about Mary and her church and those accusations. But then, like, we have these things, like, even the sort of seeming implosion of Lisa and Meredith's friendship, or some of these cheating accusations, or other things that are popping up that on other seasons of other franchises would be a full season. You know what I mean? Like, Lisa and Meredith's friendship, to me, that reminds me of Carol and Bethany potentially when they fell out, Jill and Bethany falling out. Like, those were full season situations. And it's like, we have, like, 5 or 6 of those that could represent full seasons happening at the same time. And there's all these threads that are just interweaving with one another.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say, like, I have been enjoying this season, but, like, I really am good on the idea that Meredith was involved with Jen's arrest same. In some way. Like, I think everybody watching the show is, like, on the same page that didn't happen. And completely. So it's, like, it's almost a little bit, like, can we stop, like, going back and forth and talking about this when there's all this other stuff that we could maybe dig into a little bit more? Because, like, I think Meredith, her reaction to this, like, FBI rumor is basically just to, like, laugh because it's so ridiculous, and then kind of be like, wait, do you guys actually think that this is something real? Because if you do, like, what the fuck?
I know.
And that's kind of been my feeling watching it, because I'm like, this isn't true. Like, this isn't what happened. Come on.
Totally. It was kind of like a funny thing to, like, you know, mention when the trailer came out, and then maybe right. those first couple episodes, like, when Meredith was on Watch What Happens Live, like, very early in the season, she sort of played it coy when she was asked about it. It was kind of a fun game we were all playing together, but ultimately we all, I think, believed that it wasn't, that she was not involved. And now we're sort of, you know, 2 months later, and we're still kind of, like, you know, quote unquote, parsing through that question, and Meredith's just laughing it off in real time. So I'm with you in that I'm over it. And I also think that it's almost serving as a distraction to the actual real issue at hand, which is what Jen is accused of, right? And I, you know, I think throughout, you know, the season, she's just kind of said, oh, those are false accusations. Like, you know, she's called it, like, the court situation. Like, I just don't feel like she's actually ever had to explain anything involved. And it's probably, like, a legal right. thing where she can't talk about it. But it's weird that we're talking about, okay, who informed them versus, like, okay, did Jen actually do this or not?
Yeah, there's been very little discussion of the kind of particulars of what's going on with Jen's situation.
Right.
And it's all been sort of focused on, like, you're either my friend or you're not. And it's like, okay, well, there's this whole, you know, like, most people, like, they don't indict people with whatever. And Jen, multiple times, both on the show and on social media, has kind of thrown around this idea that she's being persecuted with no evidence and they have no, you know, no standing to do this. And it's like, you can say that all you want, but that doesn't make it true. Like, the fact of the matter is that there's evidence, like, we've seen evidence.
Right.
And that isn't even the full picture, because mm-hmm. just knowing how this court that she's being charged in works, they don't charge people unless they know you did it, basically, for the most part. I mean,
they have to be really confident. Exactly.
Right. Obviously, like, Jen is innocent until proven guilty. That's how our legal system works. But, like, to just kind of keep going with this idea that they're coming at you with bullshit charges with no evidence, it's like, I mean...
Exactly. And that's why I just kind of am confused why the cast is just sort of taking that and not pushing back on it that much. And I think, you know, like, for example, like, Meredith and Jen had that hug on last night's episode, and that was very unexpected. And, mm-hmm. you know, I do believe that Meredith has compassion for Jen. I don't think that Meredith's lying just to kind of get Jen off her back. I think that Meredith genuinely does feel for her when it comes to, like, the effect that this can all have on her family and all that. But I also think that Meredith is just kind of, like, doesn't want to be associated with her. I think that's kind of because I think Meredith obviously believes the charges.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just think it's, but it almost is like she doesn't even want to go there in terms of, like, okay, let's pick apart what the allegations are.
Yeah. I actually thought a couple episodes ago when Meredith told Jen, she's like, you need friends right now and I can't do that. I thought that was, I understand why it was upsetting to Jen, but I thought that Meredith actually was really mature for expressing that, because it's like, sometimes you have to know when you have to tap out, and that, like, Meredith's presence isn't going to help Jen in the next few months, but she, you know, still, I don't know.
Has compassion for her in terms of her family, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, like, kind of wild to watch this unfold, knowing that Jen is, like, potentially, maybe theoretically, could be going to prison for, like, kind of a long time. And it's like, but yeah, I guess, like, enjoy your trip to Zion now.
I know, it's really wild, especially to hear that now they're, like, filming season 3 and, you know, she's been spotted filming. It's sort of like, okay, so, and the court date is really coming up. So it's sort of like, how can they not be talking about some of this stuff?
I know. And on Watch What Happens Live last night, Lisa, they did, like, a Jen or Meredith game, and they asked who she left the reunion feeling closer to, and she just said neither. So I don't know. I mean, Jen is the kind of person where she doesn't really, the way she behaves isn't something that's going to make people, like, come back to your friendship. It's like, I feel like she kind of is like, once she's exiled you, why would you want to go back? And somehow mm-hmm. she still has Heather under this friendship juice spell, but the rest of them I don't really understand. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah, and it's every time you think Heather might, like, stray a little bit from that loyalty, she just doesn't. And I think I don't fully understand it myself, but mm-hmm. I guess I understand why. Why? I guess I understand her reasoning that as she has explained it. You know what I mean? But I can't fully wrap my mind around that level of loyalty, I guess. It's just
yeah, I guess, like, I luckily have not been in a position where I'm forced to spend time with somebody who's, like, being...
I hope we never do, Dylan.
I know.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
So then the next morning when Meredith storms down the stairs,
in her sunglasses
and screams about them, talking about her sister and her father. That was a moment where I truly was like, what is going on? And then when we found out what was going on, I still didn't feel like I knew what was going on, because it was another thing of like, there was this game of telephone and Meredith is saying what happened. And Lisa's like, well, that's not what happened. And also I didn't bring it up for that reason. I brought it up for this reason. And I think it is kind of like fucked up for these women to be like speculating all this stuff about her father's memorial service. But at the same time, you know, they're on this show to be messy. And I can't say I'm not like interested to know if Meredith lied to not go on the bus.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, Lisa went to somebody's room after hours. The cameras were not there to capture it. They weren't mic'd. You know, they had been drinking a lot, and it's really hard to tell. Okay, did Lisa misrepresent what was said on the Sprinter van? Did Meredith misinterpret that? Is it like kind of an alcohol-fueled misremembering of that conversation that they had at 3 a.m. the night before? But clearly Meredith woke up and just snapped into like, like, holy shit, threw on those sunglasses and just like all hell broke loose. And I have to tell you, I think one of the things that I'm missing from Salt Lake is kind of like a breather moment, right? It's sort of like,
yes,
like they were kind of giving us these like scenes where Heather would be with her siblings and talk about sort of their past and their relationships together. And those sort of represent, for me, those served as like, okay, let me take a deep breath for this segment of the show in between big drama. But I guess the only kind of moment from last night that we got that was like, watching Jen, Whitney, and Heather hide in Heather's bed. Heather had the sugar baby candy. Whitney had the pitcher of water. Jen had that Gucci fedora and sunglasses on. I mean, like, that to me, it gave some levity to that moment where I could like laugh. Where,
yes,
I'm with you, where I wasn't really sure what was going on, but I was laughing.
When Whitney's like, I made eye contact with Meredith and then just kept walking. Because I was like, I can't do this right now. The idea of being like stuck in a house like this when you have somebody who's just in like complete loose cannon mode. And I mean, really, they have two or three people like that in this house currently. You know, it's just a question of who's going off at what time. But that sounds unbelievably stressful. As somebody who doesn't like confrontation and who, you know, just wants to like chill in my bed and have my personal space, I mean, yikes.
Especially when you're sort of the innocent bystander, but if you are in the right wrong place at the wrong time, you could easily get caught in that crossfire. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, chances are you were on that Sprinter van and you were just having snacks and watching it all go down. But Meredith, I don't know, I'm with you.
And it's a difference, like comparing this to the Miami trip that's happening right now. Like at that dinner, they sat down and, you know, 2 minutes into the dinner, Marisol is like, so who does everyone trust the least? And it's like, you know, that seems like a very calculated, like I'm sure that a producer was involved in like, hey, Marisol, like maybe at dinner you could like play a game.
This fun icebreaker.
But at Salt Lake, it just feels like everything is just like almost happening faster than production can keep up with. That it's like, wait, like, why are you two fighting now? Like, you were hugging last night and now it's like 9 a.m. and nobody's even in glam yet and you're all like storming around the house.
That's a really good point. It's almost at a pace that I don't know if I've ever experienced on a Housewives show before in terms of, as a viewer. I think you're right. But even we saw a lot of cameras last night in the dinner party scene. Like they couldn't even get out of the way quick enough for all the back and forth that were happening.
Right. It's like, Meredith, are you staying at the table or are you running back inside? Because our shots really are not.
We're doing laps. No, but I think you're right. I can't even imagine the job of being a producer having to follow those threads in real time I can't even follow it now with the edited package.
Right. And normally I feel like the producers, like the field producers that are there with them kind of have time to, like, you know, take their cast member aside and kind of talk through how they're feeling and, like, you know, maybe give them some suggestions for what they could do the next time they're all together. But it's like, it really feels like all of this is just like tumbling out of, you know.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, but at the same time, it's also a stressful viewing experience because, you know, they're getting ready to have their Club Zion night, and it's like, how is this going to go off the rails? You know, it doesn't really. It seems like everybody actually manages to have a good time.
I was going to say that I really enjoyed that we ended the episode with, like, 10 minutes of just pure drunken fun till 4 in the morning. I appreciated ending on that note.
I love seeing, like, hungover housewives. It really is just...
There's nothing better.
It's everything. And seeing those four women wake up in the same room and none of them knew what was going on. It's perfect.
I mean, I love how Mary, they're in the kitchen and Mary's like, oh, I remember everything. Actually, I just remember you guys in swimsuits for some reason. It's like nobody bikinis. Fully remembers. Right, exactly.
It's like, all I saw was three bikinis. It's like, Mary...
But, watching them in that kitchen, you know, we see like the dried up cut up limes on the counter. The Lisa's coming down with like her big gulp, but also like a glass of wine from the night before that was probably by her bed, and like another drink. It reminds me of like share houses that I've done before, where it's like, you know, everyone just convenes in the kitchen. What do we remember? Let's piece it together. But it's all in good fun, at least at that point.
I really liked the continuity of we see Lisa coming off the bus back from the Slot Canyon with the giant Coke in hand, and then the next morning bringing it downstairs. It's like, I like that we can follow the trajectory of Lisa's Diet Coke.
An extra large soda from a fast food chain is absolutely, you know, to Lisa Barlow is the same thing as a red Solo cup is to Kim Zolciak. That's where it's a thing that just always needs to be there.
It's in the Lisa Barlow starter pack for sure.
Absolutely.
The Slot Canyon was also fun. I feel like housewife trip activities, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, you have to plan something. But I do like on Salt Lake City, it's like everything is very scenic. I like that we get a little bit of nature. And one of my favorite details of the episode was that Mary Cosby was wearing the Brooks Marks matching set the whole time.
Such a supportive friend. Oh my god, it's so
funny
good.
Because I'm like, Mary and Meredith's friendship is something that I feel like has sort of confounded everyone this season, that it's like Meredith just seems to have this like weird soft spot for Mary that nobody can really explain, and somehow seeing her in the jumpsuit was like, damn, like, yeah, I guess they, yeah, I guess it makes sense, but...
I still don't fully understand it, but I agree. There's hints of, like, oh, it's maybe not just surface level. You know, there is some, like, you know, he's wearing the sweats, wearing the tracksuit. There's other moments, but... And I think that, honestly, Mary this episode had a really... Mary had a pretty good episode this time when I think she apologized to Jenny when she didn't need... But I don't think she really needed to, but I think that made her the bigger person in that situation. But then also, kind of in a more... On a lighter note... She was doing kind of a lot of really good periphery work this episode. Like, I think that I loved watching her come down from that canyon. But also, like, whenever Meredith was storming in and out, she was kind of sort of following her, making side comments. She was, like, watching Jen and Meredith's hug from the bed, but not really participating in the conversation. She brought up the huevos rancheros for Meredith and then, like, stood there, like, kind of, like, for a little bit too long, but then, like, eventually exited. She was doing some good side work in this episode, which I appreciated.
It does feel like on this trip, once she actually got there, I guess, it kind of kicked in at the white party dinner. She actually feels like she is an active participant in this trip, whereas I feel like a lot of the time that she's been on the show, she's either not shown up, like she didn't go on the Vegas trip last season, or she's kind of been, it feels like she is like just waiting for her ride to show up so she can leave. And this trip, it actually seems like she kind of is, you know, getting her head in the game a little bit. Obviously, we know she's not going to be on the show for very much longer.
Right.
But her interactions with Jenny are really interesting because obviously they haven't been getting along super well, but Jenny still seems to be kind of in the point where she's like, I don't know, like maybe Mary and I can figure our stuff out. Like, I don't know what, you know, I don't really have a problem with Mary. Whereas Mary doesn't even want to hear Jenny's voice. She's like, right. I can't with her. No. And like, you know, as much as Mary is like a bad person, I'm like, yeah, like, I guess, you know, call it like you see it with Jenny. I can't say too much about her either.
I don't blame her for not wanting to speak with Jenny. Like, that's completely her prerogative and makes sense, especially given everything we know now. So, you know, I'm glad she walked away in that moment, to be honest.
And then when she finally does apologize to her, it's really an apology with an excuse versus like, you know, she's basically saying, I don't want to be friends with you because I don't want to be friends with anyone new versus like, she's like, it's not you, it's me, but like, we're still not going to be friends. Which, you know, I appreciate the honesty. And also mm-hmm. in terms of Jenny, when going back to the stuff about Meredith's dad's memorial, the flashback to the Sprinter van really makes it seem like Jenny is the one who kind of was planting that seed of doubt because, you know, Heather brings up, you know, makes some comment about that Meredith was at the memorial and Jenny's the one that's like, or was she? And it's like, wait, what? Do you
know? Like, where did that come from? Exactly.
Yeah. Jenny. Yeah. I mean, I've had kind of up and down feelings about Jenny throughout this season. And so like, if she ends up not returning next season or whatever, even without those Facebook posts, I wasn't going to have really that big of feelings about it. But I don't know. She can be like a little sneaky, messy sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look back. It's like the first half of the season for her was just her and her husband having those like repetitive, wild sister wife conversations that just like were really dark. And like, I wasn't even sure if they were really like super true or like just for the show kind of thing. And I just don't think she's ever really made a huge impact on the show. And at this point, she has made an impact, but in a really, really negative way and with her literal racist Facebook post. So I just don't see any redeeming reason to bring her back and put her and kind of give her a platform like that. And even last night when she's talking about how she had to go to anger management because she like broke her husband's ribs by throwing stuff at him or something like that. Like that was a total really dark aside comment that we spent 0 seconds on, but like there's a lot of tidbits there that I'm just like, I don't know if I need this, and then it just, I don't know.
Yeah, that was an extremely extremely strange thing to just kind of throw in, and she said that in her confessional too. It's not even like it was a scene that happened on the show, so she had to talk about it. It was like she brought it up.
So why are you volunteering this information about yourself?
It's one thing to say like, oh, like I had some anger issues, so I like I saw someone, like I figured it out. But being like, I used to get so angry. Like one time I threw my husband into the wall. It's like, no, so that's off.
Exactly.
There's some darkness there. And I agree the sister wife conversations early in the season were giving me a little bit of like Melissa and Joe Gorga storyline vibes, where it's like every season there's something happening in their family that's like
right. But, and she wasn't even filming with the group really that much. It was just like it's been a really weird season for Jenny, and I wasn't sold, and now I'm completely not buying what she's selling. And it's I don't know. I think that they can find a better multiple ways a better person to fill her spot on the show.
There have got to be some women somewhere in Utah that are like messy and thirsty in the way that we love without being
100% without being like political or problematic or bigoted. Exactly. Yeah.
Or like at the insurrection.
Wait, I forget. Was there anything bad that came out about Angie? Because I'm kind of confused about where she. I feel like there is a story out there that I don't remember, but I kind of wish she showed so much promise.
I think Angie is like Trumpy, but not necessarily problematic in the same way that Sarah or Jenny have turned out to be.
Got it. Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
It really puts all bad taste in your mouth, really, the whole thing.
I know. It's like I am never going to be the person who expects every housewife to like agree with me politically, because to be honest, you would cancel out half of Bravo and we wouldn't have anything to talk about. But it's like, we can draw a line at like posting memes
Jenny
about
stuff, but yeah, Jenny stuff isn't protesters. Politics. It's like it's a humanity thing.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Before we wrap up, I want to ask you about Miami because I didn't get to talk about Miami last week, and I certainly have thoughts. How are you feeling about this season? And what is it exceeding your expectations when they announced that they were doing this reboot?
So I'm loving this season. I think it's really, really fun and refreshing. I think it's kind of gives me a mix of like current day Housewives, but also there's some elements of some like kind of retro elements of Housewives in there that I really appreciate. So when they announced it, I binged Miami this fall, gearing up for the reboot for the first time. So I was like, it was so fresh in my mind. I was obsessed with the show. So I was just like so ready for it. And I think they brought back the right people. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about like, why are Mariana and Marisol friends of? But I think the people that they've made full-time cast members for the most part have proven why they are full cast members. So it's everyone's pulling their weight, I think, for the most part. I mean, Alexia is pulling like triple the weight. I mean, she's really like, her storyline is so amazing and so wild. But I'm loving it. I love that it feels like there's real money in Miami. And like, I think that that's something we've been missing from some Housewives. And I think that's it adds like the aspirational aspect of this. And then I think in Montauk, it's like they hit the ground running on this trip. I mean, that episode was less than 24 hours and we got some of the most fighting we've had over rooms on a trip in a long time that led to other arguments that led to an amazing dinner party.
Yeah, I feel like the first day of that trip really unfolded in a pretty exciting way. And like, you know, like we were talking about on Salt Lake City, kind of how fast everything is happening. When they got to the Montauk house, it was like, okay, they had this argument with the rooms and Lisa, you know, stating her case that she doesn't share rooms, all of this. And then everybody kind of went their separate ways and then like reconvened for dinner. And like, of course, you know, that's a logistical thing of like getting ready for dinner, but it also gives the producers time to get in there and be like, okay, so what's happening next? And I thought the dinner was really amazing. I think Marisol is like the perfect messy friend role. Like, I think that's great for her because she's been kind of a sounding board for Alexia. She can kind of stir the pot, but she doesn't need to have that much storyline of her own.
Yeah. I interviewed Marisol on my podcast. That's coming out like next week, I think. But I just asked her, I was like, when you signed up to come back, did you always know you're going to be a friend of? And she was like, yeah, I'm really happy with my role. I'm literally there to, like you said, be that sounding board for Alexia, because there is so much going on in her life and they are such trusted but like good friends. And like I agree, I think she's serving her purpose really well on this show. And you know, she serves the pot immediately at that dinner. And then I think that like Larsa and Nicole, like they both really came alive for me in that dinner in ways that we hadn't really seen yet on this season. Like to me, I was always sort of curious if Larsa was gonna be more than just sort of like the intrigue around her association with the Kardashians, and sort of that's what I think was what we thought about coming in. But she was really like letting it fly at that dinner, and Nicole was really defending herself in a way that impressed me.
I'm loving Nicole, and I agree. I have been pleasantly surprised with Larsa on this season because
same.
I think for, obviously, when people think of Real Housewives of Miami, it's like, okay, Larsa, yeah, Larsa's an OG. Like, I know she was on that show. But when you go back and watch, she was only on one season that was like 6 episodes long. And so she was she was really only a housewife for such a brief period of time. And then since then, she wasn't even living in Miami. So it felt, when they announced that she was coming back, I was kind of like, I feel like they're just doing it because she has this clout associated with
her.
Yeah,
it felt like stunt casting. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I personally, you know, that can work sometimes, but I feel usually better about casting when it feels a little more organic. But I have to say, I feel like Larsa has kind of understood the assignment coming back, and, you know, she is very, she's like, not ashamed of who she is at all. I feel like she really is like hitting all the right notes, talking about her divorce. You know, we haven't gotten, she hasn't talked much about the Kardashians, but honestly, like, I don't particularly care. But I do feel like she is, I was worried that she wouldn't kind of play along with the group and that she would kind of be like on her pedestal a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like she has done a good job of kind of getting in there and kind of, you know, feeling out her place in this new group. And I'm enjoying her. I don't know if I would say she's like one of my favorites as a person in the cast, but like, I think she's doing a good job on this season.
I think so. I completely echo that sentiment. I think it's been a pleasant surprise with her in terms of how engaged she's becoming. I don't think she was engaged from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think there's enough going on this show that we don't need, you know, why her and Cam aren't super close anymore to be like a plot line on this show. Like, that just feels like it's, I don't need that. You know, there's enough else going on and enough other things to pick apart for us. And I mean, like, her and Adriana to me is like an amazing, they pop together on screen. Like, mm-hmm. they do not like each other, clearly. And it's starting as sort of this playful kind of shady thing that I think creates for some fun scenes, but it's clearly going to kind of level up to something a little bit more intense.
And that's one thing, I think the one kind of takeaway positively from Larsa's first time on the show was her back and forth with Adriana.
Right.
And that was kind of the biggest drama of that season. There wasn't like a ton happening in Miami season one. And so I love that they've kind of preserved that dynamic a decade later, considering that I don't think they really have spent much time together since then.
Definitely not. Yeah, I think that Larsa and Lisa are clearly like relatively good friends. Like, I believe that friendship in like mm-hmm. a true way beyond the show. So I think that also adds to like, okay, there is sort of a connection here that makes sense for Larsa to come back. So I'm excited to see if she continues to sort of sink her teeth into the drama, because she was, again, like, no, even Lisa wasn't safe at that dinner. Like, she was like kind of throwing some digs at Lisa.
Yeah, they really were kind of mixing it up, and it didn't just feel like it was like one side versus the other side. It's like, oh, wait, you said this about me? What did that mean when you said that? Oh, I didn't know you were talking shit about her. Like, it's very, you know, there's a lot going on, and I'm enjoying it. And they just did their reunion in New York. So I'm really excited to see kind of how the mm-hmm. rest of the season plays out. And I really hope that they bring it back. You know, it seems like people have been loving it.
I feel like there's so much potential there. I think, you know, obviously it's on Peacock, so I think there's probably less like, there are probably less viewers, there's probably less online chatter about it than maybe Bravo is used to with their Housewives franchises. But mm-hmm. I think I did see that. Aren't they going to air Ultimate Girls Trip on Bravo? I think I saw that somewhere.
Yes,
and so I'm like, maybe eventually
they'll do that. Maybe
Miami will air its fourth season on Peacock. And maybe while they're filming the fifth season, they'll put it on Bravo, like at, you know, alternative time slots. And, like, get more viewers plugged into it for a fifth. Because I think there's so, I mean, again, we have, like, eight or nine total women in this group that are, like, I mean, there's just so much there. So I think doing a one season return would just be really disappointing. And I think they've earned their keep here, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, Gibson, this has been so fun. Thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is, again, there's a lot going on. And this has been a big week, and I think if one thing sort of reunites all of us right now, it's like what we saw from Jenny's post is so deplorable and so like just not acceptable, and I think we're waiting on the response, but until then it's sort of like, clearly the show is going to keep on trucking, and there's so much happening on the show outside of that, and it just, there's layers to this, Dylan. I mean, I think exactly. We're all working through it. Yeah.
You will have to come back next time when some more layers have been unveiled. Until then, tell everyone where they can find you and listen to your podcast and everything.
Of course. So you can follow me at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter's where I do all my live tweeting, which I'm sure you've seen. And then you can listen to my podcast, which we have one interview per week. It's like 75% Bravo, the other 25% are other reality stars and celebrities. It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's called We Should Talk, and would love if you tuned in.
You should definitely check it out. Gibson is one of the best Bravo live tweeters and also one of the best interviewers out there. So.
Wow, thank you. Get into it. I appreciate that.
Don't forget to rate, review, and follow our show wherever you listen so you don't ever miss an episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.